The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. I see Stephen Manning. What festivities are planned for this weekend, Stephen?
Festivities. Adding a mile to the Sunday morning long run. Whew. As part of the training.
Could be cold.
That's not really a festivity. And then napping in front of the TV for the rest of the day.
Now that's festive.
You can dress festively for your run.
Are you training for a marathon?
Well, the half marathon in March.
Oh.
Hey, I also heard Dan Maggio talking about this. Now, are you like still doing brick and mortar a little bit here, Dan, or what?
No, and Thanksgiving, I was in Pennsylvania and I almost went to the mall, but I decided not to. So, no, I guess I'm not.
I feel like you made the right choice. We need you around, Dan.
Well, that was part of it was just not wanting to go into a crowded indoor space with people. So
too much mayhem.
Yeah.
100%. Heather Hill is here with us today.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, sliding into the end of the semester like many of yous.
Can't wait for Monday, Heather.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Oh yeah, that's right. We got Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be cool, man. So you guys wouldn't show up at five?
Dave clearly forgot all about it. You just reminded them.
What's his name? Matt just reminded.
Yeah.
What's happening Monday?
Heather's film class. See, yeah. I talked to them about Sophie Scholl. So if you're going to talk to them about something more uplifting, I think it will be a big hit.
Back to the Future.
Yep.
Well, you know,
where we're going, we don't need roads.
Best email I got all week from Heather just a couple days ago. Well, Dave and I both did. He's like, I just want to kind of let you know that there's a very real possibility that a good chunk of my students have never seen this movie. I'm like, I was kind of coming assuming none of them had seen the movie.
Yeah. And honestly, it's like, I hate to say it, I need to refresh myself again. So I got to watch it one more time. So
thanks again.
Are you good for me like showing up in a fright wig and a trench coat and you be late, Dave? And then I'll just keep staring at my watch going, damn.
DeLorean with you.
Yeah, you have to drive up in a DeLorean.
I'll be cracking up and my students will just think that we've all gone insane or that we're on.
Heather, we have all gone insane, okay?
Well,
it'll happen to you too. That'll be my message. Yeah. That's frankly the message of the movie.
Worst case scenario, I will draw the entire film for them if I have to, okay?
Mara Livesey is here with us today.
Hello.
Hello, Mara. How did your week finish out?
You know, pretty great. I think this is maybe the only week in the semester where I'm ahead of schedule, but it's not going to last long.
Monday is always around the corner. Yeah.
Yeah.
With 1 week to go, it's actually kind of encouraging to hear you say those words. I got, I'm just going to put it out there. I won't say any names, but I got challenged by a student this week, Mara, in such a way that was so direct, although it was just one-on-one during office hours, that I couldn't help but become deeply offended. That the spirit of their words was basically, could you do a better job making this class amenable for me only?
Oh.
And then I ran into one of my colleagues about 2 hours ago who said that the same student had said the same thing to her. And I'm like, I don't feel so bad anymore. I thought it was just me.
You know, it seems a little bit late in the semester to be having that type of conversation with your professor.
Yep.
Also true.
And it's still offensive regardless of when they have.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with Dave on this. But apparently some of the behavior in at least some of our first year writing classes has been ridiculous in terms of rudeness and.
Yeah.
But with the submission of grades, 2 weeks away or something, the timing is pretty perfect.
Yeah.
I would take your use of the word perfect literally, because the only explanation I had, because I bought myself a cookie that night, like I kept my cool, is that everybody's turned up to 11 because it's the end of the semester. And then it's actually up to 15 because of the pandemic. These people haven't even ever been in college in person before. So, you know, it, I want to give them some grace, but wow, it's just sort of like you're going to catch the wrong prof on the wrong day. And it ain't going to be pretty.
It'll be me.
Retirement is bliss.
Yes.
I can't wait. Beth Oljar, I'm just going to assume that you're also looking forward to retirement. Not soon.
I'm sure one day I will look forward to retirement. For now, I'm just looking forward to the end of the semester and not having like 90 or 100 papers to grade, because one of my classes is symbolic logic. Thank God.
That's keeping you busy.
And next term too.
Right. I pumped it full of majors for you.
Yeah. So I have 18 in contemporary moral problems and 13 in honors ethics. I'm like, fine. That's a level of papers that's humane. You know, I mean, that doesn't amount to the Bataan death march, right?
Right.
During finals week. So.
Incredible.
Small victories.
Symbolic logic. Yay.
Exactly. You either did the proof right or you didn't. Period. Yeah.
That's one of the big learning outcomes for the class, for Pete's sake.
Exactly.
1 + 1 = 2 for Pete's sake.
Makes assessment easy.
Yeah, true. Jim Tubbs is here with us today, also laughing hysterically in the background.
Also sitting here amidst 55 term papers.
Ooh.
There you go.
A fraction of which have been graded.
Is that your weekend, Jim?
Yep. That time of year, that time of semester.
When you say a small fraction has been done, give us a number there.
Actually, I'm at about half. So I'm okay.
That's good. No, yep. That's good. Once you get over the hump, it's all downhill. Like a roller coaster.
Yeah, right.
No, he gains momentum toward the bottom.
And I don't have a staircase to throw up down, so I have to do something else.
It's actually a helter-skelter. You go back to the top of the ride, right?
My gosh. Also cackling wildly at his non-piles of grading to do is Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always. I do not miss grading one bit.
A footloose and fancy free game.
Yes, exactly. But then I've also got nutty clients. I mean, I literally went to bed this morning at 5:30. So,
wow.
And then I woke up. You're gonna laugh at me. I went to an estate sale this morning at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Was that you banging on my door at 8:30?
No, it wasn't. No, there's a sale not too far from here. They had a couple of tiki mugs and other things like that. So I had to get in line. I was number 11. The gal ahead of me was number 10. We were both going for the same thing, and she snaked 6 mugs for me, but I got the 2 wall figures. So
I knew it was going to be tiki related.
It was just detente. So
this is related to the addition to the house somehow.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I think I can make the announcement here. I am finally published now.
Congratulations.
In late January, there's going to be a book on Detroit Tiki, which I am the contributor. And so I wrote the foreword.
Oh,
I can
awesome.
Write.
Congratulations.
Awesome. That is very cool.
We expect free autographed copies all around.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can apply for tenure.
Right.
We're going to take an episode off for you to do a dramatic reading, frankly.
Right. Like, no, I can write. That doesn't mean I know how to read. So, I mean.
A dramatic tiki reading.
All right.
And I'm wondering, when you open your tiki bar, is it going to be afloat?
No. Right about now, I think that idea is off the table just because of the uncertainty of everything.
Oh,
things are uncertain right now, yes.
Yes.
Folks, we're being joined today joyfully by Todd Hibbert, who is our guest panelist. Thanks for coming, Todd.
Hey, happy to be here.
Todd. Sorry.
We have a cheerleader. That's great. Thanks so much for joining us, Todd. I'm sorry ahead of time. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. And if you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Here we go. Dear professors, you know our family can't rest on our laurels. We've always got short lists of questions to send into the show. Below are 25 varied questions we think are worthy to challenge the profs and their vast intellect. Some of the questions you could almost tell were geared towards certain members of the panel. Which we've realized over the years of listening to the show, isn't always in the classes they teach or what their degrees say. Oh, of course, you're a varied bunch to say the least. Warmest greetings from Valencia, California. It's our friend Frank Burrows.
Oh, thanks, Frank.
And maybe a laurel is a good place to rest.
Yeah, and we're varied.
We are. What city is the backdrop for the TV show called Dynasty?
Denver, Colorado.
It is Denver, Colorado. Yep.
Yep.
Sorry, I kept on thinking Dallas. I was going, Dallas. Oh.
Denver. No.
And then Falcon Crest was San Francisco.
That's right.
Actually, in Germany, it was called the Denver Clan. That was the name of Dynasty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Spelled with a C, I hope.
Yes.
Moving on. What is Billy D. Williams' full name?
William. That's Floyd a star.
Williamson.
Nope.
D. Douglas. Dwight.
He has a very unique middle name that starts with the letter D.
Dichotomy.
Involved something that happened 3 days ago.
What happened 3 days ago?
Tuesday.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Okay.
But you know what, Todd? You are so, so very not far off. His middle name is December.
Oh. Huh.
December is happening all month. So I don't really know. I take objection to the clue.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he's not being amenable to you right about now.
I was going to say, maybe you should stop by Matt's office and have a discussion about it.
I'm going to, though. Oh, you should be making this show better for me.
You need to make it more amenable to us.
That's yes.
Right.
It's all about Heather.
Right.
Where, professors, is Stephen Hawking buried?
In England.
Partial credit.
Oxford?
Nope.
It's in a black hole.
A black hole.
For the record, the Burroughs family knows us so well, he gave me the right answer. Parentheses, and yes, he is also in the ground and presumably in some sort of box.
Oh, isn't he in Westminster Abbey?
He is. He's right next to Sir Isaac Newton, his idol. That's right. That's right.
Well, that's cool. That's kind of cool.
That's pretty sweet.
What's even cooler is that the Burroughs family put that other stuff in parentheses.
I'm not joking. That's what it says here.
Oh, my gosh.
Are we that transparent at times?
Apparently.
Jeez.
I think we've had this one before, but I bet we've forgotten the specifics. In what year did school bus yellow get adopted in North America as an industry standard?
1953.
Yeah, 50s.
You know, it says it's earlier, but I'll try to give you a limit. It has not yet been 100 years, but it's earlier than the 50s.
38.
I'm giving it to you. It's 39. Yeah, it was 1939.
Okay, I was going to call Kendra and ask.
I've never forgotten that the, what am I thinking here, from the Netherlands exchange student that we had in grad school. I'm like, you know, so what do you think about America so far? Spoke fluent English. And he's like, yeah, I just, when I saw the yellow buses on TV and stuff, I thought that that was like, just like a trope, like just something to make it seem like it was America. I didn't know it was real. Like, that's all you have to say to me? Like, seriously, you know?
That's what you think of America?
Yeah, that's what you think of America.
School buses, okay.
When did they start putting the lights on top?
Oh, good question, good question. Or the little swingy sign out on the side.
Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah.
You're listening to Ask the Professor from University of Detroit Mercy. We're grateful to our listeners who have recently sent in questions for the show, and we invite you to email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. The professors will return to answer more questions in just 60 seconds. But first, we invite you to enjoy these Ask the Professor memories from 1995.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
From the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Yeah, hi, Edwin.
My gosh, jeez. Right. And on Arthur's right, my left, from the Department of English, Professor Hugh Kulin.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. How did the hunting go?
I was with Greg. It's the first time he's tried it out.
That's right. I got two, he got zero.
That was, but aside from other people we were hunting with, how'd we do on the deer?
Oh, we hit a couple coming
on the way back. On the way back, yep. Right. Run, Bambi, run.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
Mother.
Your mother's not coming back anymore, Bambi.
She's in Hugh's refrigerator.
You know, it's claimed that the rockabilly musical genre was founded in a very interesting state of the United States in 1937. What state was that?
Tennessee.
West Virginia.
Somewhere in the South.
Arkansas.
Kentucky.
Mississippi.
I'm going to guess Vermont.
I'm trying to give a wry smile, and it looks like Dan is going down the right road here. Oh. You know, it was it was California.
Oh, well, that wasn't close.
Yeah. Shows what I know.
Oh, but it was unexpected. Okay.
So it's not one of the 22 states we actually mentioned?
Well, you got to 50%, Stephen.
Close enough.
We had it circled.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. Professors, who are Ir Shun and Da Mao? Who are they?
They sound like distant relatives of mine.
Chinese philosophers.
They're not philosophers. As a matter of fact, they're not human.
Oh, they're panda bears.
They're giant pandas.
Oh.
The giant pandas of the Calgary Zoo.
Aww.
Has China asked for them back yet?
Not yet.
I think we lost the receipt in Canada.
Here's a oldie but a goodie. If you're tuned in, we'll get it in 2 seconds. If you're not, then I'll see what I can do with clues. Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance. Remember him?
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Fast feet.
Sherilyn Fenn, very, very famous actress. And Ken Jeong, doctor/comedian. They all have something in common. What is it?
They're born the same day.
They were born in the same place, Stephen.
In the hospital.
Whoa.
It doesn't say hospital.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if they had that down, I was going to be in trouble. Then Heather's prediction of them was right, that they noticed that well.
Well, who was the middle person?
Sherilyn Fenn.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, Twin Peaks. Yep.
Yes.
Well, Michael Flatley, is it in Ireland? I can't. No.
Glasgow.
This might be the first time we've heard this trivia aggregated in this way. Professors, all three of those people were born in Detroit, Michigan.
Wow.
What?
What?
Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Okay. It out. All right.
His parents must have been passing through or something.
Ah, the water broke in Taylor. Let's go.
The dance should have been more Motown.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, did anybody see the Sugar Man film a few years ago?
Saw it on the plane.
Speaking of Detroit, Sixto Rodriguez is a graduate of Wayne State. Does anybody know what his major was in 1961?
Philosophy.
It was philosophy. Spot on, Professor Oldjar. Yes. He got his BA in philosophy in 1961. I love it.
A lot of famous people have degrees in philosophy.
Who is it? Gene Siskel, right?
Yeah.
Gene Siskel, Steve Martin, Phil Jackson, Katie Turr.
Mm-hmm. Professors, do you know the name of the sequel to the very, very famous, probably for the wrong reasons, Ronald Reagan film, Bedtime for Bonzo?
Was it like College for Bonzo?
Yeah, Dave got it. It's Bonzo Goes to College.
Bonzo Goes to College. Yep.
That's where the trope comes from, the Bonzo movies.
Yeah, and Reagan didn't star in the sequel, if I remember right.
That's right. So. I'm getting stuff ready for Monday here, Dave. It's like, oh yeah, future boy, who's president in 1985? Oh, yeah. Ronald Reagan.
Right.
The actor. Oh man.
And Jane Wyman's the first lady.
According to what records we have, professors, what percentage of the North Korean population identifies as being employed by the military?
Oof. Employed or being subjugated by?
Of which population?
North Korea, Jim.
40%?
40 is actually a little high.
30%.
22.
28.
These questions always freak me out. You know, it says it's 5%, but if you think about that number, the total population of the country, it's quite a bit of people. It's
That's, of course, a North Korean statistic.
It's also a North Korean statistic.
Hence, not reliable.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. Yeah. Oh, my. Can you name even one of the four main sources of income for the country of Vatican City?
Tourism.
Yes.
It's fair to say. Although, to be honest, from people, I've never been there. Most of the money they make is in the gift shop. Oh. And it involves stamps.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Stamps.
Yeah, I've been in that gift shop, and boy, they've got all kinds of Vatican stamps. For
this. Wait a minute, so there's like a Pope Francis beer cozy that I need to get?
Hey, mm-hmm. They could still be selling indulgences, so I think
seriously.
We have to consider progress as having been made if they're now at least not tricking people into believing something and paying for something.
Talk like that is why the screen just froze.
Oh,
you think so?
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
Try this one. No offense, profs. I definitely could have gotten this one if it was given to me in this way. Saturday, September 13th, 1969. What TV show's first episode was titled?
Star Trek.
What a Night for a Night.
It's not Star Trek.
That would be, Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, where are you? Yes, that's right. The first night was the night at the end of the day. The second night was like a medieval night. What famous singer was purportedly once Paula Abdul's babysitter? For the record, babysat Paula Abdul, was not employed by Paula Abdul.
Keith Richards.
Sheryl Crow.
No, a very famous male singer.
Oh.
Initials M.B.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton. Yes, Michael Bolton. Okay. There you go. But Michael Bublé is fantastic. That was a great guess, Jim. Very good guess.
She probably braided his hair.
Oh.
Professors, what percentage, according to the old Blue Book Masters, what percentage of a car's useful life is essentially spent parked and not in use?
98%.
I'm giving it to Dan. It's 95, but
wow,
that's close enough for me. That's incredible once you start wrapping your mind around it, you know?
What's the clue again? What percentage
of a car's useful life is spent being parked and not in use?
It's 100% of my insurance premiums.
100% of that last car you picked me up in.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, consider yourself lucky.
lucky to have made it home, yes.
It may surprise the professors to get this question right. What we're looking for is the year that the White House got equipped with Wi-Fi.
Oh, 2005.
Yeah.
Well, it had to be earlier than that.
99.
I'm
2002.
98.
Yeah, Clinton was still president, I bet.
I remember seeing this. The issue was that early on, Wi-Fi did not have the same kind of security that wired internet did. Oh. And so they were extremely hesitant. Professors, it hasn't even been 10 years.
Wow.
2012
was the
White House Wi-Fi. Professors, how would you define the word in allurophile, A-I-L-U-R? What's an allurophile?
Someone who loves allures.
Somebody who's passionate about.
Somebody who's passionate about.
Allures.
Partial credit.
How do you spell it again?
A I L L-U-R-O, a lurophile. Just give it away. I'm looking in Beth and Mara's direction.
Cat lovers?
Cats?
A cat lover.
Oh, what a terrible word.
What is the language of origin?
It's got to be Greek, right? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the correct term? These always crack me up. I don't know where they come from. Who's sitting there? I'm picturing George Lucas being forced to name every single alien from every background of every single scene, you know? What's the correct term for a baby platypus? It's cute, but I don't know how I'm supposed to give you a clue about that, you know?
Baby platypus.
Does it sound similar to platypus or different?
It starts with the letter P.
A pup?
A platypup.
Platypup? I like that.
I find them particularly cute. The little dogs with the smashed faces.
Pug?
Pug. So they're called Puggles. P-U-G-G-L,
oh,
which is a cute word.
It sounds like some Brit named them.
Yeah, like biscuits. Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Like a cartoon on Nickelodeon.
It does. It does.
Yeah, leave it up to Prasad to name platypus.
Harry the platypus. What U.S. city has the slogan, the West's most Western town? A little bit of a false advertising, if you ask me.
Reno?
Not Reno, but you're getting close.
The West Coast Western town.
Vegas? Oh, wait, what's that one? What's that ghost town?
Santa Fe.
Not Santa Fe.
That they used to shoot all the movies in.
The place in Nevada. Is it in California or no?
You know, it's in Arizona, to help you.
A Flagstaff?
Tucson?
Tucson.
Diane Manica's house.
I knew that was coming sooner or later. Diane lives in Glendale, right?
Close enough.
Mesa.
Yeah.
Mesa. So the answer is it's Scottsdale for whatever.
Oh,
Scottsdale, what? Arizona. Yeah.
That is not the West most Western town.
Oh. Some point, maybe.
My Western town is a lot more West than that.
Yeah.
Scottsdale is kind of the Birmingham of Western town.
I was just there and I didn't see any sign signifying that.
But you can see Russia from there.
Scottsdale?
Oh, please.
I did one time up on Camelback Road somewhere. I saw that sign, but it's...
Sounds made up to me.
Yeah, I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those things where they kind of made it up trying to take the fame away from whatever other fame was out there.
Yeah.
Try to lure people in. Profs, you did a pretty fantastic job on this question set. And I just love whenever Frank and his family sends these in, they always go all over the map and a few things that were directly related to us. So we really appreciate that. But what I'm afraid to say is that we've used up all our time again. So let's leave them wanting more. And the time has come to say goodbye, Dave.
See ya.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Bye.
Mara.
Goodbye.
Heather.
I got to walk the fur beast.
Dan.
Bye.
Steven.
Goodbye.
And Todd.
Yeah.
Now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.